This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
I am Wong Xiaoning, and this is The Breakfast Grill. Now, semiconductor usage has become prevalent in almost all electronic devices and systems, and this is set to increase with the onset of the Internet of Things and automation. Its use has increased in both consumer and industrial applications, but with COVID-19 and the US-China trade war, is growth still exponential? So today on the show, we have Mr. Chew Nee Wing, Managing Director of QAS Group, a testing company that's part of this vast semiconductor manufacturing ecosystem. Good morning. Welcome back to the show. You were here last in February 2018 before your listing, but I would probably want to start with COVID-19. So how did QES manage during this lockdown? Because I gather operations were halted. So how many man days were lost?
The timeline itself, I think Malaysia has got they call it the MCO, sometime middle of March, you know, so all companies of QES Group, we were on a shutdown. Various units, like the manufacturing unit, we are part of the essential chain, so we applied to MIDA, and we got it like a 50% workforce operating within 2 or 3 weeks later. So we were shut down for that almost a month. You know, so that was quite a significant impact. On the distribution unit, later on, the Malaysian government actually allows some of the operations of the companies to run. So we got approval to run 50% or so for the distribution units sometime like 2 or 3 weeks later. So all in all, I think we were shut down for a month to a month and a half at least. So that is the scenario that we are facing during the COVID-19 pandemic.
So has everything resumed? Are you operating now at full capacity?
Yes, yes. We're all operating at full capacity.
So 100% of the workforce is back?
Yes, 100%. It's been a while, actually. Operating at 100% has been quite a while because the shutdown and the 50% ruling, and quickly the Malaysian government realized that economy has to move on. And of course, with the safety factors of the pandemic, COVID-19, I think most of the companies are pretty obedient, I would say. So we follow the SOP very religiously. So we implemented all the measures that has been recommended by the Ministry of Health. So because we also worried that some companies have been audited. Even our manufacturing unit was audited, actually. So the government just want to make sure that the companies operating are following the exact SOP that they wanted to be.
You mentioned the distribution segment because QES has geographical reach in Vietnam, right? 20% of your revenue. Singapore is 19%, albeit Malaysia is still the largest market at 30%. But with travel curtailed, because let's face it, nobody's going overseas at the moment, or very little. Isn't business impacted for that particular segment?
QES is known for the geographical diversity, you know, so we have infrastructure at all these ASEAN countries. I would call, we call ourselves ASEAN specialists. And yeah, Vietnam, Singapore, Thailand, Philippines, Indonesia, all are impacted. And at to various degrees, if you ask me, Vietnam in the beginning stage, Vietnam wasn't really impacted. You know, the cases of COVID-19 in Vietnam is very, very minimal. Operation is like normal. Then, of course, you look at Malaysia, you look at Singapore, and then Thailand, Indonesia, now Philippines, to various degrees, they're all different lockdown measures. And some countries actually control it better. So to that extent, QES Group, no difference. We have all the staff that generally we can work from home.
But what about orders now? You know, like the book-to-bill ratio. Are you getting more new orders and more than the pace of production?
We are not involved in, hospitality, tourism, F&B, hotels. So we are not into that sector, or even airlines, So we are all into the industrial segment, into the semiconductor, in the technology segment, all that. So I would think we are least impacted. So even during the pandemic, even the first quarter results, you look at the announcement we had, results are not too bad. We are making profits and orders are still there. And of course, I'm due to announce second quarter. So, of course, I don't comment on specific performances. But you asked me, book-to-bill ratios, yes. Our orders are still on the uptick.
Above one?
For manufacturing, it's above one. For distribution, it's equal, you know. So, and to me, that's a good sign, you know, because it tells me that the technology sector or the industrial segment, they're all still moving, you know, across the countries that we're operating at.
So there is some improved visibility then?
Yes, to a certain extent. Of course, I can't comment on all countries. You know, Philippines right now is pretty bad, you know, because the cases is really drastically, I mean, the cases of COVID-19.
Yeah, so huge jumps.
Yeah, huge, just total lockdown. So our people just can't operate. So that have a kind of a, I would think the most impacted in terms of business is still right now is Philippines. You know.
So can you comment on what your current order book is now?
Current order book, we are at probably distribution is about 35, manufacturing is about 15. So we're about, you know,
50.
Yeah, around 40, something 50. I don't have the exact number. I can browse the iPad, but I think I'll just give you an estimate.
And how long would that last QES or current operations if orders are not replenished?
Our orders are not on a contractual nature kind of business. So our orders, like we get an order, we deliver it in, you know, 3 months, some 2 months, you know, some 4 months, depending on how complicated those equipments are. And of course, we have materials as well. So those are very constant. So the varying degrees of delivery lead times. So I would say on average, 2.5 months, we will fulfill those orders. Of course, we replenish it every month. These orders coming in. So it's not like I get a contract and I have to fulfill the contract within 2 years. You know, I don't do that kind
of
business.
So there is this constant challenge to replenish your order book because those orders can be completed in quite a short space of time.
Yeah. It's always there because good and bad. You know, the good part of it is, you look at the companies that we are serving. Not a single customer that is more than 10% of our revenue.
And so, have you had any, let's say, bad debts? Your customers?
We do. Of course, we do have bad debts. You know, I've been operating this company for almost 30 years. So we do have companies that...
Do you see that rising in the COVID-19
yes,
era?
Yes, definitely. There are some cases that people are trying to extend the payment, you know, and dragging and all that. So I foresee some of these payment issues will come, you know, come back to all the companies, not only to QES, you know. So, but we manage our risks, you know. We manage our debt collection, you know, pretty well, you know. So,
can I assume we will see weaker revenue in the second and also maybe the third quarter? I mean, after all, you did say that your business was affected for at least a month. Because the point is, I see a nice bounce in profit after tax to $2.44 million in the first quarter. So nice 30% year-on-year improvement. But I don't think this number can be simply analysed and the trend is sustainable, right? Considering COVID-19.
Yes. I mean, I wouldn't want to put a usual comment that I can analyse it and all that. So it's usually, there's a lot more uncertainties, you know, put it that way. But on the overall sense, you know, the forecast that I get from my guys, my teams and all that, we see that maybe the orders are not going to jump significantly, but also it will not drop significantly as well for us, you know. And the good side of it is the manufacturing, which we are making equipments mainly for the semiconductor. Those are getting substantial orders actually for even during COVID-19 times, you know, because we think most of the customers, our customers, which are semiconductor companies and all that, they are probably gearing up, preparing for the, like you said earlier on, the proliferation of 5G, the IoTs, you know, and industrial automation, all that. So we are part of the chain, so we get some uptick in some of those orders coming in, especially in our manufacturing side.
Because manufacturing was your weak spot in 2019, right? I mean, there was the result. Revenue was actually down 160 million versus 190 million in the year before. So is the worst over for manufacturing?
Okay. Manufacturing for 2019 downs very significantly because we were, our product profile, we were actually very focused on automotive IC. So our one particular range of product line, our post-wire bonding, AOI, we had a lot of sales on those equipment. And we were very focused on that, the automotive IC makers. But towards the second half of 2019, there's a major slowdown in the automotive segment. And then you can verify that with a lot of players in the market. And we are one of the impacted units in terms of sales drop, customers postponing or delaying deliveries and all that. So that causes the manufacturing to suffer quite a fair bit. And we were anticipating some deliveries to be done by end of December 2019, but some of them didn't take place. But you can see some of this actually kind of carried forward to the first quarter of 2020.
Will you be able to achieve the same revenue you did in 2019? Or would you actually even... overall, for the whole QES group? Because you did 160 million last year.
I would think we will. I expect, you know, we will hit minimally 160, 170 million. That's my expectation, you know.
Okay, so actually not bad considering COVID-19 caused a shutdown. And what about your plans to move into other sectors like petrochemicals and pharmaceuticals, which is something you put in your prospectus?
Yes.
Has that been achieved? Because one of the issues, I think, is your over-reliance on a certain product group in the past.
We had big plans trying to move into petrochemical and all that. And then, of course, you know the situation right now. I mean, the oil and gas and all that is tough. I don't think we are going to spend a lot of time, effort, because you know the market situation. Then, you know, why bother to spend a lot of time in those segments when you know the returns are not going to be there? So I have better reallocated some of the resources. So that's part of the plan, to reallocate some of the resources. But we don't forget that sector because the customers are always there.
Listening to The Breakfast Grill, I'm speaking to Chew Nee Wing, Managing Director of QES Group. Up next is Recovery Insight, and what will that be driven by? BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to the Breakfast Grill, where this morning in the hot seat is Chew Nee Wing, Managing Director of QES Group. Just a moment ago, we were discussing the impact COVID-19 has had on the company. Now, Chew, let's talk about recovery. I mean, the bad news, we all kind of know it, COVID-19. Now, you've actually pointed out a quite interesting fact that you expect 2020 results to be, you know, probably the same as 2019 in terms of the revenue. But what about 2021? Is that going to be much better? Is revenue going to be higher than 160, 170 million?
We have great hopes in 2020 before the COVID-19.
Before COVID-19. Everyone had great hopes before COVID-19.
Yeah. So because for QES Group, 2019 was a bad year because our profit wasn't good and drops quite a fair bit. Revenue was a drop. But we are pinning our hopes on 2020. And the COVID-19 came in and, of course, it worries us. But we have gone through 6 months already by now. And I'm seeing results and fruits from all the actions that we have taken. We have not laid off any single staff across the whole country and the whole region.
Have you had to do any pay deferments or pay cuts?
No, we don't have, except maybe me and my partner Liu.
It's okay. The bosses should always be the first one to take the hits.
I mean, to me,
leadership always, by example,
yeah,
right?
Leadership by example. But you know, coming back to recovery, yes, we were impacted, but as I said, we are in an industry that not so significantly impacted. So I foresee a good set of results coming in because it's interesting. I just want to share with you, Xiaoning, that even revenue stays at even, you know. But you'll be surprised because we're all on virtual. The traveling, because QES Group, we are operating in the whole ASEAN region plus China and Taiwan and all some and traveling all that. And all this cost just totally disappeared.
So will we see an improvement in EBIT margins? Because I look at your historical numbers, it's about 8-9%, right, margin. So are we going to see a better number there then?
Yeah, I mean, from the cost perspective, you know, the operating cost perspective, you know, we have actually significantly reduced the local travelling, the overseas travelling, all this because of this COVID-19, we can't travel anyway. So there's one big chunk of the cost. And then our people actually don't go out. You know, we used to sometimes bring our suppliers out.
More entertainment.
Yeah, a good meal or customers, you know, for a good lunch and all that. But you don't do that anymore. So again, across the board, we talk about 300 staff, you know, around ASEAN region. That is significant impact. And plus the fact that most of the governments, especially the Singapore government, the Malaysia government, they are giving us, the companies, the private sector, some kind of subsidy, the wage subsidy programs in Singapore as well. So these are helpful to companies like us. So we get, again, to a certain extent, costs have been reduced, you know. So that will probably generate better margins, a bit, as you said, even though revenues remains the same as 2019, for example. So that's my expectation for 2020. And going forward, 2021, you know, we think most of the products that we develop will be ready. And we are trying to move out and maybe trying to get a more so-called momentum in our China program, marketing programs.
And I'm also curious, this optical inspection or automotive handling series, which is supposed to be your catalyst for growth, right? What segments What segment do they support? I mean, is it like consumer, you know?
Okay, that's a good question because I said earlier on, we were very much focused on customers related to semiconductor IC for the automotive. But going forward, you know, our automatic handling systems, those are geared towards probably a broader spectrum of semiconductor players who are making for other consumer electronics, you know, like, let's say, the phone or the, you know, IoT stuff and all that. So we want to cover that segment. And the automatic handling systems that we are making, we are preparing some of the product lines, that will help, you know, because I don't want to be too focused on one segment. Then when that segment didn't come through, then...
Which is what happened to you in 2019 with the post-wire-borne automated optical inspection, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So that's why we learn, and then we are trying to actually broaden the product spectrum and trying to cater for at least a wider spectrum of the IC manufacturers.
So can we expect a change in your market share in the Malaysian testing market? Because in 2018, the prospectus, it said you had 10%. So come 2021, what kind of market share do you think you will have?
You know, I've been tracking here and there in terms of the products that we carry. You know, so we think we have some advantages because of our distribution network, because all the products that we manufacture are distributed by our own subsidiaries in ASEAN countries, and of course by sales channel partners in Taiwan or China, and we have some European-based distributors as well. So in one way or another, we think we should be getting more market share, not per se on the post-wire bonding AOI, but we have a lot more other product lines going into that market. For example, the automatic handling system. When I say that, products like the customers need to automate certain processes, and these days, they are very particular about quality, yield enhancement and all that. So our product actually fit into their requirements, because once they automate the process, then they will look for equipments like what we are making, like the automatic wafer pack, unpack, the automatic wafer sorting systems, and even certain times the customized requirement, you know, like automated warehouse sorting and all that. So we are into that area as well, you know, trying to develop products in conjunction with our customers' requirements. And sometimes through that, we actually make a standard products. Because when we develop products together with our clients, and at some point of time, the products can be duplicated to the same type of manufacturer.
So there's no IP, in a way, no intellectual property.
So far, there's no on that kind of product line. It's a process automation, so I don't think we can apply for IP on that.
Does that, in a way, explain your EBIT margins, which you just said there should be an improvement because there's no travel and this, you know, cost has come down? And the reason why I'm asking this is because I looked at some of your competitors. So, you know, the likes of LSoft, MMS Ventures and Vitrox. I think Vitrox is the big boy there, right?
The big boy there.
And, you know, when I look at their margins, it's quite robust double digits, whilst yours historically is 8 to 9% for EBIT, like Vitrox, 24%. So is this a function of the fact of the product you make, which is what you say standardized, or is it because you have to price yourself competitively to maintain market share?
Okay, the answer to that is the QS group is, you're talking about the overall group, so we have a distribution unit and we have a manufacturing unit. Whereas my peers, you know, the companies, names that you mentioned just now, most of them are 100% pure manufacturing. So, and when I look into their financial information, most of them are lucky, because fortunate, because they have pioneer status a long time back, you know, and they enjoy a tax-free kind of environment. Mm-hmm. So whatever profit they make is the ultimate VAT. Whereas for QBS Group, I've been asked this question by analysts before as
well.
Yeah,
why aren't you yourself?
Why aren't you trying to do that? I said we tried, you know, so we get. But then the government, the recent events, the last 3 years, for example, getting pioneer status, they don't give companies, whole company pioneer status anymore. What they did is, when you apply, they say, okay, they'll give you the pioneer status on product basis, product by product basis, which we did. We did apply and we get some, but we don't get some. So it's a complicated process, you know, because our product is kind of sometimes overlapping. So, you have done this before, you know, we can't give it to you. So that's why our manufacturing, we still have to pay tax, no matter how. So that is where the margin difference in terms of the after tax. So in terms of distribution, it's a good thing because we have good margins. Why? Because our recurring income. There's one aspect that a lot of people don't realize, you know, this is our unique advantage because...
It's your bread and butter, isn't it? Because it's 90% of your revenue.
the recurring income in a sense that, I won't say 90% is the distribution is a big chunk of the business, but out of the distribution unit, we have the sales, you know, and then we have the recurring income. Recurring income is a service, after-sales service, support, work and all that. And that is usually very consistent, ranging from 20 to 25% of our revenue and very good margin. Because it's just like you drive a car, you know, you always have to service your car. And you go back to the place that you bought your car. And same, I know I have about 11,000 machines installed across the world, majority of them in ASEAN. And that is a good data for me because, you know, it generates income, basically.
And you're sitting on a cash pile of 42 million ringgit as of quarter one results. So what are the plans for that now? Are you going to hang on tight to it because of this uncertainty or has anything caught your eye?
We realize that, of course, the cash positioning of company during the bad times is very important. So I've been monitoring cash flow every week. You know, when I look at the acquisition, I'll be very, very careful. And I look into every single aspect of it. So that's why sometimes people say, wow, you've been too conservative, but that's the nature.
And another thing I've noticed is your share price. Okay, from the lows we saw in March, it's gone up like more than 200%. Amazing, you know, even on a year-to-date basis, you know, up more than 20% at least. So if I was a shareholder and I look at the current price-earning ratio, and this is based on Bloomberg, of 62 times, I mean, can you blame me if I'm a seller? I mean, or is there something I'm not seeing? What do you think?
Okay. I can't really comment on the share price because it's a function of demand and supply. You know? So I look at most of my peers or some of the companies in the listed in the ACE market or in the main board. And yeah, you're right. Some of the PE is actually... Absolutely.
I have to wait 60 years to make my money back.
Bonkers. but that PE ratio you mentioned probably was based on a
historical.
2019 historical. So, but going forward, as I said, you look at the first Q results and we're going to make the second quarter announcement and all that. So, and I've just mentioned to you that we are the least severely impacted by the COVID-19.
But even if I did a simple back of envelope kind of calculations, you're still looking at a PE of above 30, 40 times, which is still quite a lot, right? Because you said revenue will be flat, maybe some improvement in EBIT margins. So, okay, bringing down your PE a little bit, but still very high double digits.
Yeah, it will definitely be double digits.
Yeah, sure. High, at least 40, 50.
Yeah, but then you have to buy into the, as I said, the belief in that
The growth story.
Will grow and the incoming 5G IoTs, the automation, the factory, Industrial 4.0.
On that note, thank you very much for your time. This morning on The Breakfast Grill was Chew Nee Wing, Managing Director of QUS, sharing the company's outlook. I'm Wong Xiaoning, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.